This morning we begin a three-week journey in the book of Luke, concluding on Christmas Day with a Christmas story. Today we read from Luke chapter 1, verses 5 to 38. We read about two announcements by the angel Gabriel. These announcements came 6 months apart. The first announcement came to Zechariah about the birth of John the Baptist. The second came to Mary about the birth of Jesus. I read Luke chapter 1, verses 5 to 38. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them. And they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. And after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. And for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, 'Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people.' In the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be, since I am a virgin?' And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. This is God's inspired word. May we delight in God's promises as we take in the message that's titled this morning, Merry Christmas to You and Us, Part 1.
Last night we were sitting around getting to know one another. That's what those gatherings are about. At one point, we began to talk about genealogies. Where are your grandparents from? How long have your family been in the United States? Can I ask a couple questions? Let's have a little fun here, all right? Don't be ashamed and don't be afraid. All right. How many of you have, let's say, I'm just picking at random, German blood? Raise your hand. Raise them high. Okay, raise them high. So several. I mean, like half of you? Okay, put them down. Okay, how many of you are all German? 100% German? Oh. Okay. How many of you have English blood? Raise your hand. Hi. Okay, there's English. Some of the same. I see some German English. Okay. All right. How many of you are all English? Not a one? Okay. Let's do the good guys. How many Norwegians? Raise your hand. Okay. All Norwegian. Okay, we got a Norwegian. We got a full-blooded Norwegian back there. Oof to feed a Martha, my wife would say. Isn't it interesting that we don't have very many people who know exactly where they came from? My dad was 50% Norwegian. I don't know where the rest is. My mom was Irish, German, Welsh, Irish, Welsh, a little bit of Cherokee, something like that. Isn't it interesting that we all come from different places? It would be interesting to sit around and find out when you were born and where you were born and how in the good Lord's name would you and how could you get to Yankton, South Dakota? How did you get here? It is very interesting for me to sit around and find out those things. But you know what? Let's talk about something a little bigger. What does linear mean? Linear is an arrangement in or extending along a straight line. Or it's a progressing from one stage to another in a single series of steps, sequentially. Now, let me see a raise of hands. Yes, I'm going to put you on the spot. How many of you believe God can do things linear? In a straight line, without deviation, with all the things that are thrown in. Everybody raise your hand. Everybody put your hand up. Okay, there we go. All right. Now, look along this linear line that I put here. There's the creation of the earth, and God said it was very good. See, he started out really good. And then we go along and we got the Ten Commandments. And by the way, you'd have the flood in there and some other things, right? So it doesn't seem like it turned out so good. But it did. We'll get to that. So now there's the Ten Commandments. The law is good, by the way. We don't live by it, but we fulfill it. Christ fulfills it in his church. Then you got the Davidic kingdom. That's what that crown is there, which, by the way, is eternal, right along that blue line. And then there's the cross, which probably should be the biggest thing there on that line. Now, that's not all of it, but that's some pretty significant work that God has done and is doing. At some point, God did not come along at some point and say, wow, I messed up. I made an earth that is out of control. I made a mistake. Okay, I'm going to give them the law because I think that might do it. The law, yeah, I think the law. If I pound them over the head with the Ten Commandments, that's going to work. Oops. You don't see God, or you don't see in the Bible, God saying oops. I think you see Hezekiah saying oops, or some other people. You don't get to the Davidic crown of David where he goes out and carouses around, doesn't act like a king, and totally messes up, and finding out God says, I messed up here. I picked the wrong guy. Boy. And then I'll fix it all by putting my son on the cross. How can we have any hope in that if the prior didn't work? See, God doesn't act that way. God's not working that way. Okay? Look, people deviate. People go from the line because we have free will. And so we move away from the line. And then, so what happens is God wants us to get them back to the line, that blue line of redemption. God's work is redemption on a linear line from beginning to end. And in his mind for eternity, it's all about renewal and redemption. When we go through the book of Genesis, you're going to find out in Genesis chapter 1, he is already talking about renewal. Just a hint. Why is there an evening and a morning before there's a sun? Just a hint. Because he's doing something and he wants to put it in our head that he's renewing and he's going to renew, and that's going to be his work of redemption all the way through not just Genesis, but the whole entire scripture. And so back and forth we go. Because we say, well, I got my own linear line. I got my own purpose. I got my own plans. But God knows how to bring us back. The last couple of weeks, we've been talking about darkness, this land in a place of darkness, and particularly Nazareth and Galilee and these wonderful places that we all want to go and visit and dream of and sing about. And yet it's the darkest place on the planet right now. And then we don't go very far in our own lives where we see darkness. We see sickness and pain, and we walk out and we get in an argument with somebody, and we walk out and we fall spiritually, make a mistake, sin. We're in a place of darkness. Now, over the years, the Assyrians rose up, the Egyptians first, and then the Assyrians, and then the Babylonians, and the Medes, and the Persians, and the Greeks. And then, Alexander died at about 30 years old or whatever he was. And then there was four generals, and they split the kingdom up. And then, now all of these kingdoms ruled Galilee, ruled Judea. They all ruled Judea. Judea has been in darkness for a very long time. So is Galilee, Nazareth, and Bethlehem. And you remember Antiochus Epiphanes was one of the Seleucids, and he conquered Judea, and he desecrated the temple. He's a type of the Antichrist. And so we think, man, things just can't get worse. Then the Maccabees rise up, and then over the last several hundred years before Christ, they raise up and they gain some control, but then the Romans move in. And Pompeius conquers Judea and the north. And he sets up his puppet king Antipater, who just happens to be, they talked about it in Sunday school this morning. He's an Edomite. You can't get much worse than an Edomite. And he sets up his son, Herod, in Galilee to rule over Galilee. And he gets kicked out for a time, but he takes back. He's a great general, and he takes the place back. And he wants to really schmooze the people. He wants to show himself like I'm a wonderful king. And he starts doing wonderful things for the people. But behind the scene, he's a slaughterer of people. One of the first people he slaughters Well, first of all, he marries a woman who's a Jew. Then the high priest doesn't like him, so he slaughters the high priest, who happens to be the Jewish's brother. So Herod just getting right off on a good note. Can't get any darker. And then the wife is all upset about this, so he kills the wife. And then his sons are all upset about this, and so he kills his sons. He kills his mother-in-law because she was upset. Then he kills, you remember, the children. When he was looking for Jesus, he said, slaughter the innocents. He was the one that killed the... And then to top it all off so that he wouldn't drop off this line, so supposedly, he wants an eternal name. So he's going to keep his name eternal. So just before he dies, he knows he's dying, and he arrests all the nobles. And his last command was, when I die, kill these people because they're going to go out and tell the truth. I want my name to live forever. Now, it's living forever. Dark. But let's turn back just a little bit and look at a verse. The very last chapter of the Old Testament. And this is just a paraphrase. These are just a couple verses in the last chapter. You can go back and read it for yourself. Look what the linear plan is. Look what the blue line is. For behold, the day is coming for you who fear my name. The Son of Righteousness shall rise with healings in his wings. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. Now, the Son is not misspelled. That's S-U-N. And that is like you're sitting on your warm deck in the springtime when the sun's come out and the snows are thawed and you got your cup of coffee and the sun is healing your bones. That's that picture there. Healing. And the great, now Elijah will come, and we're going to get a little bit of a picture of that. That's John the Baptist comes in the spirit of Elijah, but he will come again. And so this is the linear plan. This is what's happening. So, isn't it interesting to guard against, now we want to guard against being iconic and prideful in importance. But have you ever thought that when you read the Christmas story, why is he picking these four people? Why is he picking Elizabeth and Zechariah and Joseph and Mary and John the Baptist, five people? What do they have to offer? Who are they? Oh, because they're named, they're someone special. And yet Jesus said, what did Jesus say about John the Baptist? About you. He's talking to the disciples. And then he's talking about the church. About John the Baptist. He says, no one born better, greater. But yet greater is he whose name is written in the kingdom of God. That's you. Why? Because he's of the old prophets. He's of the Old Testament. We want to guard against making overly importance of ourselves. But yet, I'm convinced God cares. He cares for you while at the same time going right along that blue line. He's able to do both. Rick Warren wrote a book called Purpose-Driven Life. Sometimes I got a sense that it was like too pointed, too individual, too much at some times. But I do think that I understand what he was trying to say. He was trying to say, you have a purpose. You have a purpose in God's plan. Not only that, you have a purpose for God to fill. Again, the book Grand Weaver, go read it, by Ravi Zacharias. He's saying, you matter. Now, we don't want to stand in the mirror and say, you matter, buddy. You're good. Yeah, you're it. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a God who says, you care. I mean, he cares for you. You matter. That's what God is saying. You matter. God is able to have his linear plan and yet have you involved in it, with him, meet your needs, and care for you. God could have done much more in Luke chapter 1 and 2, and yet he picks these people, and he uses them. And I think we can learn something from them. In Luke 1, 16 through 17, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to their Lord, their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. That's what God said about John the Baptist to his dad and mom. Okay, so you have this linear line, and this is the linear line. That John the Baptist has to prepare the way because he was spoken of in Isaiah, and he's supposed to come, and he's going to prepare the way for something bigger. And you remember what he said, I must decrease so that he must increase, John the Baptist said. And so the linear line is Jesus Christ. And yet John the Baptist was pulled in to this line. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. That's the end is the linear line. That's Jesus Christ. That's that verse right there is what life and eternity and everything is all about. He will be our all in all. That's what it's all about. But I think that there's some clues here to tell you and me he cares for you and me. I believe God cares for our desires, especially when we're walking in righteousness, especially when we're his children. And righteousness means we're right with him, we're walking rightly. I believe God uses our needs to help us join him, to propagate his work, but just simply to involve you. I believe it's never too late for your desires to be met. Your spiritual hunger, your love for God, and what you want to do for him. It's never too late. I believe it's never too late for God to use you. In fact, I believe God goes on using us. God has a purpose for you. The narrative here, this narrative is not about you. This narrative is not about Elizabeth. It's not even about Mary. It involves Mary, a wonderful lady. It involves two wonderful guys, three. But it's not about them. It's about Jesus Christ, but it involves them. So let's look at some things. What are their names? Zechariah, also called Zacharias, means God remembers. Elizabeth, God is my oath. Mary, bitter. Rebellious, wished for child in the Hebrew. But where does she get her name? Where does she get her name? Who's she named after? Possibly, probably, Moses' sister. That's an Egyptian name. It means beloved. I wonder if you know the meaning of your name. And you say, well, it doesn't matter. To who? It doesn't matter to the world. It doesn't matter to your neighbors. It matters to God. It matters to you. It matters to those who love you. You say, well, you know, somebody comes walking around calling me bitter or rebellious. But do you know your name? It's not happenstance. Joseph's name may Jehovah add. He's from the line of David. That's their names, okay? Different names. John's is God is merciful. They're Hebrew names, so they're going to center around God. Let's talk about their backgrounds. Zechariah is from the hills of Judah. He's from the line of Aaron on the male side. Now, by the way, it says he was of the division of Abijah. Do you realize that Abijah is a lost division? It's not a lost tribe. It's one of the divisions that did not come back from the exile, but to, they always, this is what Israel did. Remember when, I think it was, I can't remember if it was, I know Benjamin was involved, but there was one, I think it was Simeon, who lost their wives. And they said, we got to go get some wives for them. So they went to the town of Benjamin, if I remember right. And they incorporated to fill in these holes. So Zechariah really isn't from that tribe, but he was incorporated into the division of Abijah. We'll get to that in a little bit. Elizabeth, hills of Judah, line of Aaron on the male side. She's righteous, just like Zechariah was. Hopefully, we can all be that. Mary is from Nazareth, of the line of David. She was probably 16 years old. Now, if you can help me with that, it'd be great, but there's no big deal. She's probably pretty young. And then Joseph, now wait a minute. Wait. You see what just happened? You've got two from the line of Aaron who meet and marry and have John the Baptist. You have two from the line of David who meet and are betrothed and have Jesus Christ. She has Jesus Christ. Joseph raises. How? Just in this right here, how would you say God does this? Well, he sends an angel and he talks him into it. Nope. No, he didn't talk him into it. He said, this is what's going to happen. What has happened in your life? What is happening in your life? Now, please understand. Don't get wrapped up in the idea that this is about the Messiah and this is, and I have nothing to do with that. But if God is all caring and all loving and he is your father, then what and where and how does your life matter? And should you be looking in the mirror and asking that question? Should you be saying, Lord, what? How? Why? Why was I born there? Why did I come through here? Why did I have that experience? And I think that the more that you pay attention to that and ask and say, okay, God, what are you going to do? Now what? And that's what we're going to get to. Now what? So they were raised in Judah and they came up and all kinds of different backgrounds. Then what? Then the Messiah. At some point, God says he interjects something in our lives and he changes our life forever. John, this is interesting, isn't it? Judea wilderness. This is his background. He ate locusts and wild honey and wore camel skin. Why? They didn't do that then. Why did he do that? Because from he was filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. Some more background. Priest from the division of Abijah. I already talked about that. Elizabeth is barren. This is bad. I mean, in the Hebrew way, in the Hebrew culture, this is like she may as well almost be dead. This is not good. Well, God's going to pick her. Oh, seriously, why? Because her desire, being a righteous woman, was to have the Messiah? No. To have John the Baptist? No. To have a child. And what was Zechariah praying for? What was he? Listen, he gets a chance to come into the temple to light incense for the first time and only time probably in his life, chosen by lot, one of 24 tribes, one of 750 people. He gets a chance to come and pray. And what does he pray for? My wife, who is barren, who's in shame. And God says, I can use that. And I will use that. Mary, again from Nazareth, she was a virgin. How's God going to use that? You say, there's no way. We're going to get to some of that in a minute. How's God going to do this? Joseph, who's a tecton, that's all he was. Well, you get our word from tectronics here, from that technology. He was probably a carpenter. It could have been a mason, but he was a carpenter. That's what he did. He's Well, he's almost a nobody. I mean, why is he important? Why are you important? And John was a Baptist. I want to make a joke about that, but you know, some Baptists, not very many, but some Baptists, they go back to John the Baptist and say, we're original Baptists. It's almost like some of the Jews tribes and some others. That's a long way to reach and very hard to connect. But he was a Baptist. That's all we know about him. What did he do for a living before he went to the wilderness? What did he do? Who is he? He's a guy who ends up in the wilderness looking really weird and acting strange. And God says, I need this. I need you to stand out and do something for me. Okay, that's five really different people, all right? Zechariah, let's talk about their faith, okay? That was their names and their background. This is their faith. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled. I would be troubled too. There's nothing wrong with this. When he saw him. So when he saw the angel, he was troubled. And fear fell upon him. So you got a double whammy. He's trembling and now he's totally afraid. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer about your wife, about your child that you want, has been heard. And your wife will bear a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. I can't tell you how much this just sticks out to me. Why aren't you saying, now he's going to get into, this guy's going to prepare the way and all this other stuff, but he begins right here talking about how much he cares for him and Elizabeth. How much you're going to finally have joy and gladness. Lord, he doesn't care about my joy and gladness. There's proof that he does. And he cares. Again, we're not going to bear and produce a John the Baptist. It's done. The linear line is down the road. But he cares about our gladness and our joy and what we're all about for him. All right? How about Zechariah again, his faith? And Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? Now see, here's the problem between him and Mary. If you look at this, it looks like the angel is going to punish Zechariah, but he's playing favorites because he doesn't punish Mary. I don't think that's what's going on here. Because the main difference is what? Age. And he's a priest. To whom much is given, much is required. And so the angel comes to him and says, you're going to have a child. And he says, I'm an old man. My wife is advanced in years. And the angel answered him, I am Gabriel. I mean, okay, you're an old man, but I am Gabriel. You know, be quiet, listen to what I just said. I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things can't take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in your time. Now, there's some gifts out there, gift of prophecy, gift of tongues, interpretation, and those kinds of things. I really don't want to get into those, but I will say this, because I believe it with all my heart. You have desires. You want to do something. You want to be something in God. You want to make things happen. If that's you, and you are standing before God in righteousness, then we should be praying. Lord, what do you want to do with me? And by the way, whatever you have planned, whatever you have prophesied over my life, that's what I want. I believe. So things start to happen and we run into something and somebody asks you to do something or an opportunity comes up and you go, wait a minute, that's not me. Well, wait a minute. The Lord just gave you something. He just put something before you to do and be. So step up. That's faith. Elizabeth, after these days, the wife conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people. So she said, this is mine. She didn't go around gallivanting and saying, "Hey, watch what happens to me. You're going to see a change physically." And she goes and hides herself. And this is a continuous kind of a line here. She keeps saying this. This is what the Lord has done. She believed it and went and hid herself. Mary, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. What was she troubled at? The sight? No. She was troubled at the saying. This is like a young person today going, "Wait a minute, that doesn't make sense to me. So kind of show me how here." And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David." So she's asking how, and probably in her youngness, I don't think that she was disbelieving here. I think she wanted to know how. And so that's my take. But if she was disbelieving, she still was young, and the Lord was giving more to Zechariah to be responsible for. Anyway, so then, and Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin? This doesn't work like this. I'm 16, but I still get it." And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "I don't think this is going to happen." No, in her faith, she said, "Behold, I'm your servant." So you've been wanting to do something. You've been wanting to get involved, and the opportunity comes. You step up and say, "Lord, I need your help, but I'm your servant. Here I am. I'm in this place for a time such as this." And the angel departed her. Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with a child. This is from Matthew. And her husband Joseph, being a just and man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived is her from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." When Joseph woke up from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded. Notice, he didn't get up and say, "I really had some bad pizza last night. That was a rough night." He got up and did what the Lord commanded. Faith. And John, of course, you know, what kind of faith do you have to go and wear a camel skin and live in the wilderness and call some people to righteousness and justice? And by the way, if you don't, you're a brood of vipers. So the faith of John the Baptist. And so what is key here with these five people is a level of faith. But there are measures of faith. There's a measure of faith. Matthew 9:29 says, "According to your faith, let it be done." And Luke 17:5 says, is the apostle saying, increase our faith. There's a measure of faith that each one of us has. And so in Romans 12:3, Paul says, "Be honest with yourself." And this is in the Young's translation, I think. He's saying, be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourself by the faith God has given us. And so we say, "Lord, I don't quite get this, but I'm going to walk in faith." They also had different service. And so, just moving along here, Zacharias was a priest. You know what Elizabeth did? Bore the baby, John. Mary bore Jesus Christ. Joseph, what did he do? He was kind of like a taxi driver. He took him to Egypt, and he took him back to Nazareth, and he took him to where they had to go. And then, by the way, what's the outcomes of these people? What happens with them? Elizabeth and Zechariah are already old when they begin to be used. So they drop off the charts pretty quick. What happened to Mary? A lot. And there's a lot of tradition that you can go back and read on Mary. She ended up probably in Ephesus with John, because Jesus said at the cross, "Behold your mother, take her as your mom." and he took care of her. So she lived to a ripe old age. But by the way, she was not resurrected. She died like the rest of us will die. What about Joseph? He was dead by the time Jesus was 13 years old. He drops off rather quickly. When Mary is trying to be the mother and run around after Jesus and take care of him and save him from the hand of the Pharisees, where's Joseph? Nowhere in the picture. He's not even there. So our outcomes are going to be different as well. But the point is, you've heard that saying on your tombstone where you have a date, beginning date, and end date. What's happening with the dash? What's happening with the dash? That you are parallel or on, you are riding on that linear line where God is using you and keeping you for his work. I told you that Zechariah had like one, his tribe had 1/24th chance of being here during this time. He had a 1 in 750 chance within his tribe. Do you realize there was 18,000 priests about at that time? A 1 in 18,000 chance, in literally, that he would be in that temple at that time. By the way, 6 months before Mary got pregnant. Mary goes up and she's with Elizabeth for 3 months. Why? Because that's probably about the time John was born. And then Mary, before she got too pregnant, went home. There's a thing that God is doing in a timeline with these two ladies and these three men that is astounding if we step back and say, Lord, this is a bigger picture. This is a bigger picture than we can imagine. It's not wrong to sit back and meditate on that linear line because that's God's purpose, and that's what we need to do. When we look at the world, we have a biblical worldview, and I know what the Lord is doing with nations and kings, but it's also not wrong to say, what is the Lord wanting to do with me? What is he doing with me? In 1 Timothy 1, 18-19, Paul says this, my child, I entrust you with this command in keeping with the previous prophecies about you, so that by them you may fight the good fight, holding on to the faith and a good conscience. What is he saying? He's saying that God has a plan for Timothy. Now, again, I want to just reiterate this. There may not have been prophecies per se from some verbal spoken person over you, but that does not mean that God does not have prophecies and an end game for your life, and something to do between the two numbers. He has something for you to do. Do not be afraid to ask. Do not be afraid to say, Lord, I have this desire in my heart. It's a deep-seated desire. Please fill it. I'm right before you. I'm doing what's right. Please fill my desires and my needs in your name. Lord, we love you and we praise you. And I thank you for every person here who has a different name, a different genealogy, a different history, a different background, different levels of faith that you are able to help us through by the indwelling of your Holy Spirit, by friends, the church. You are able to help us along. You are able to draw us back to your linear line. Please do that for us, Lord. We pray, each one of us, that you will fulfill your desire in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name.